Snapchat goes all in on mobile gaming, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, tap or click that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss a single episode. And by the way, I wanted to share this yesterday, but I guess I'll just have to share it today. I know I missed it by a day. Yesterday was Pi Day. Apparently the meme going around Facebook yesterday was, here, I'll read it. The roundest knight at King Arthur's table was circumference. He ate too much pie. So, there you have it. I apparently blundered right through that. I was supposed to share that meme with you guys yesterday, but now that you get it, yesterday was Pi Day 3.14, March 14th. Today's the 15th. If you got it, great. If you didn't, get it already went over your head, round table, and out the door. So, welcome. We usually talk about stuff other than memes. No, I'm not planning on making this into a meme review show anytime soon, but maybe from time to time I'll highlight a funny meme here or there. I don't plan on making it a staple, though. I don't know. We'll see. But let's head on over and see what we got for today's trivia. All right. Last episode, I asked you guys a question, and let's just say I still didn't get any feedback. It's almost like I'm asking these questions and then I'm answering them myself. In case you're wondering, the answer to yesterday's question I asked, how many iPhones have been sold worldwide? The correct answer is 2.2 billion, and this is roughly collected since they first went on sale and the iPhone first came out up until current sales figures, which is the latest one we'll probably be able to get was the last quarter of 2018. And right after that, Apple announced we're not going to be tracking sales and numbers of iPhones anymore because, well, they're just not going to do that anymore. They used to be transparent with all that information, but now they aren't anymore. Well, why would you have to be when Microsoft and all the other phone manufacturers aren't reporting how many phones or things they're selling? Why should we? So that's just reason for the change, in case you're wondering. And they already talked about it last quarter in 2018. So I got a new question for you guys, one for you to chew on over the weekend. And hopefully you get this right. I'm actually giving you two whole extra days. We don't do a show on Saturday and we don't do a show on Sunday. So you guys have until Monday at the latest to get your answers in to this question. By the way, in case you're wondering, hey, I want to play trivia. How do you play trivia? Well, submit your answer on Twitter by replying to the tweet with a question for today's trivia. We'll usually have it annotated with We'll usually have it with the hashtag LITN Trivia so that you know which tweet has the trivia question in it. The link to this tweet will also be listed in our show notes for this episode. The first correct answer, if you want to play, will be announced in the next episode along with your Twitter username. So head on over to twitter.com/technewsgadget, search for the latest tweet for the trivia being today's. Submit your answer by replying to the tweet. And there you go. You have as many tries as you want. First one wins. So the question I have for you guys today, if you're ready with your trivia caps, is when did Ninja play a game of Fortnite with Drake? I'll let you guys do the thinking and the guessing. Remember, the first correct answer will be announced in the next episode. Moving on. All right, so before we can get to the tech news of today, and we got a lot to get to, we always have to take a look back into history just so that we can see the roots, where we're coming from, and where we're going. So, being that today is March 15th, 2019, on this day in history, in 1994, Aldus Corporation and Adobe Systems Inc. merge. Aldus Corporation and Adobe Systems Inc. announced they will merge. Aldus revolutionized desktop publishing when founder Paul Brainerd released the PageMaker program in 1985. Computer scientist John Warnock and Charles Geschke applied knowledge learned in their graduate work to similar products and founded Adobe in 1982. And ever since then, Adobe's still been around. Incredible, isn't it? Incredible. But that's not the only piece of history we have to get to. Next up, on this day in 1985, the first internet domain, Symbolics.com, is registered by Symbolics, a Massachusetts computer company. And actually, the website's still up and running as of this day. And they actually have like a museum, an online museum. You don't have to pay for admission. It's always open. And you can actually take a look back on what all brought everything up to speed till today in terms of history. It's a little online historical museum of sorts. So if you're like, hey, what about the internet? And hey, what about computers? And hey, what about like laptop or electronics or gizmos or gadgets and whoozy what's it galore? There you go. You have fun with all of that. Symbolics.com. Finally, on this day in 1975, issue number 1 of the Homebrew Computer Club's newsletter is published. Only 21 issues are published through December 1977, but the newsletter is considered influential in the early culture of the personal computer industry and obviously memorialized as such. So, there you have it, the history of today. So, with that being said, let's get on over to the news of today, shall we? Alright, first up on the docket is, well, Apple makes privacy extremely relatable in a fun new iPhone ad, and it's actually a fun and interesting ad that I haven't seen for a while, but it's taking it back to its roots. You see, privacy has long been a value for Apple, hammered by Steve Jobs a decade ago and built into Apple software, something that can't be said for many other tech companies. But marketing privacy as a product feature can be tricky. So how do you show it? Apple's latest iPhone tackles that challenge head-on, connecting privacy to iPhone in the most relatable ways yet. So, Apple has a whole site dedicated to explaining how it keeps user data secure at apple.com/privacy, ranging from end-to-end encryption between iMessage senders and recipients to Apple's use of differential privacy and scrambling user data to make products smarter. We also saw Apple spend real ad money on its privacy messages earlier this year at CES 2019 when it played off the old Las Vegas tagline to declare what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. So I'm actually going to play this ad for you guys. Kind of interesting, kind of a little bit eye-opening, so let's quick play and see what we got. Kind of like the whole padlock feature, the whole leaf on the Apple logo actually turns into like a little padlock thing, and then it turns back into leaf. I thought that was pretty interesting. So, yeah, what do you think? Privacy matters. Just, you know, it brings up this age-old question of privacy. Like, how much privacy is okay? Is it too much? What's the fine line between that, you know, in terms of, well, if you posted it and it's public, obviously, you're okay with it being public, and if you weren't, maybe you should have thought about it and said, maybe this is just for me. So, and then there's some stuff for saying, like, well, you use my picture on the internet without my consent, you know. Well, you made it available as a public profile picture on Facebook. If it wasn't so important, maybe you shouldn't have done that. All these privacy questions, and Facebook getting in trouble, and Apple getting in trouble, and and menagerie of stuff. What do you guys think about the whole privacy debate in terms of online stuff and in terms of what can and can't be shown and what companies should take into account in terms of keeping protection of your information, or is that your responsibility? I don't know. I'm open for a discussion on Twitter or however you want to have a conversation. It's an interesting conversation, to be sure, but one that's important to be had if Apple is any indication with the success that they've been having over the decades. So, moving on to the next tech news article. Chinese tech giant Huawei has developed its own operating system as a plan B in case it's barred by the U.S. government from using Google and Microsoft products. Now, interestingly enough, the Chinese tech giant confirmed it has developed its own operating system that could replace Google's Android and Microsoft Windows should it be barred from using American-made products, according to a recent report by the German newspaper Die Welt. The prospect of being banned from such products has intensified for the company in the wake of its recent lawsuit against the U.S. government. We have prepared our own operating system. Should it ever happen that we can no longer use these systems, we would be prepared, said the executive Richard Yu, according to a translation of the original German text. The spokesperson did not immediately respond to Business Insider's request for comment on report. Apparently, Huawei is suing the U.S. government for not allowing its federal officials to use the Chinese firm's telecom equipment over security concerns. The company has said that the U.S. government has failed to provide evidence to substantiate the security claims and that the U.S. is acting unconstitutionally. Oh, for crying out. Okay. I'm going to just skip that part. They've been working on building its own operating system since as early as 2012. According to the South China Morning Post, and the completion of those efforts had previously been unknown until, well, this recent report. They currently use Android operating system for its smartphone devices and Windows for its laptop and tablets. So obviously that's their plan B, which maybe should be a cause for concern for both Microsoft and Google, because it's like, wait, you guys sell products that our OS is used on. Shoot, we can't make anything off those sales. Yep. Well, when we're in a global industry, stuff like this happens all the time. So obviously, between the bigger companies, there's going to be a lot of hustling and bustling and maneuvering around going on. But hopefully they have it sorted out. But yeah, that's just the way of the beast. All right, for all of those who still have WinRAR, apparently a 19-year-old bug is being used to install malware. So just want to be careful here, so this is kind of a PSA announcement. Last month, a 19-year-old bug was discovered in WinRAR, a software used to extract zip and other file archives on your Windows PC. The company was quick to patch the bug, but users who haven't updated to version 5.7 are still vulnerable. Now, opportunistic hackers are taking advantage of that. McAfee, a global software security company, revealed in a blog post that it has identified more than 100 unique exploits, with most of the targets in the U.S. By renaming an ACE file with a RAR extension, hackers can manipulate WinRAR and extract a malicious program to a computer's startup folder, and without the user knowing, the program then runs automatically when the computer is restarted. According to McAfee, one exploit uses a bootleg copy of Ariana Grande's latest album, Thank You, Next, with a RAR extension. We don't know how many of the people may have been impacted by the bug. Fortunately, theirs of WinRAR being essential software have passed, but since 2002, it has gained more than 500 million users, so this attack could still gain some traction. So make sure you update and don't download Ariana Grande's latest album, because it might be bootleg copy. Oh, well, buy the album first, obviously, if you like the song, and careful about files that you download from the internet, because it just could be a malicious bug. Just saying. Moving on to the next article we have for today. Twitter is confirming a new subscribe to conversation. I cannot read. Conversation feature for following tweets of interest, to which my initial response, thank goodness, finally. In addition to testing out a new format for conversations within a prototype app called Twitter, which I had spoken about earlier this week, and other features like a hide the tweet button, Twitter today confirmed it's also developing a feature that would allow users to subscribe to individual conversations taking place on its platform. The new option was first spotted by Jane Wong, a reverse engineer who often peeks inside popular apps to discover their yet-to-be-launched features and changes. She tells TechCrunch she found the subscribe to conversation feature within the Android version of the Twitter app, where it's a user interface prototype for now. The button simply reads subscribe to conversation and is positioned at the top right corner of a tweet view, she says. Read for comment, Twitter didn't provide details about specific launch plans. It noted the feature was under development and pointed to TechCrunch to its tweet confirming this. Company's short statement reads, this is part of our work to make Twitter more conversational. Obviously, things could change at any time, but wouldn't it be better than just having to click like on the first thread topic just to follow a conversation? It seems to me that Twitter needed at some point to blend more with chat programs and apps just to stay relevant, because Twitter was iconic in its own right, but it was more of a conversation piece, more of a shouting into the void. And if you have a lot of people following you, shouting at a lot of people from, you know, on top of a mountain, and then they all look around and they go, well, he got all the tweets too. Oh, this guy's popular. You probably retweet that and talk about this and talk about that and talk about that and talk about that. And there's a whole lot of, there's a whole infrastructure on Twitter. If you start digging into it, it's quite fascinating, really, about all the information that's available to the public. It's like a public chat record, history, text message of sorts. So I'm actually glad to finally see this feature. How about you guys? Healthier and better structured conversations are among Twitter's top goals at present, as the company tries to make its app easier to use and less prone to abuse. The new subscription feature would allow someone to follow a thread without directly signaling their interest or having to join the conversation themselves. With a click of the button, users could instead opt to receive notifications when new tweets were added to that conversation. To some extent, this feature is another example of how to change from stars to hearts, as Twitter's favoriting mechanism has had a ripple effect on Twitter's development. The star had indicated interest, but really didn't convey an emotion. Twitter wanted to evoke a more positive vibe, so it shifted over to hearts several years ago. But as a result, people felt they could no longer save tweets they wanted to later reference using the default engagement mechanism, as it indicates an endorsement. And not all tweets you're saving are those that you support. So Twitter later addressed this problem with a separate tweet saving feature called bookmarks. So, yeah. Apparently, Twitter declined to... No, get out of here. Declined to say when a new feature would arrive. But if it's any indication, if it works out great in a prototype and rolls out fine in beta, well, hopefully we'll be seeing it sometime soon. Alright, time for some gadget news. Netgear is launching the Nighthawk Pro Gaming XR300 802.11ac Wi-Fi router. Yep. Gaming products are everywhere these days, and even if you aren't a gamer, these offerings are usually quite premium, making them a solid choice for anyone. For instance, a mechanical gaming keyboard can be excellent for typists, while a gaming mouse might provide accuracy, comfort, and durability. The problem? Many gaming products can be considered ugly, looking like alien spaceships or mutant spiders. Sorry, Alienware, but if you don't want to look like an alien, maybe you don't have this big old googly head on it. No, I'm kidding. Today, Netgear launches its newest gaming router, and its appearance is surprisingly conservative. Called Nighthawk Pro Gaming XR300, its design is wonderfully boring. But in a good way. In other words, it doesn't outwardly appear to be a gaming router, but make no mistake, the underlying Duma OS operating system is tuned for gamers and has useful features like QoS and geo-filtering. The dual-band 802.11ac router has a 1 GHz dual-core processor, up to 1.9 GB speed, 3 antennas, and beamforming. Strangely, its USB 3.1 Gen 1 Type-A port is on the front, making it weird placement for those that prefer to leave something connected to it. But it serves a purpose-built gaming dashboard powered by Duma OS, critical for an enhanced online gaming experience. With the explosion in popularity of online games such as Fortnite, Apex Legends, and PUBG, the Nighthawk Pro Gaming Dashboard, used across our entire Nighthawk Pro Gaming line, prioritize internet speeds for faster online gaming, and smoother streaming, minimizing lag with ultra-low ping rates and giving gamers a fully personalized experience on the customizable dashboard. So if you guys are interested, I have some more specifications in the article link. By the way, I have a link to this and all the other articles on our show notes that you can find at technewsgadget.net/89, or if you're listening to this audio version in a podcast app of your choice, you should just be able to swipe or tap up, or however you get more details on your listening podcast thing app feature, and you should just be able to find an article right there, tap, and have it load up right away. Wow, the wonders of technology, I know. So they do have a video that goes along with it. It shares the following features and benefits, which is an optimized gaming performance, gaming dashboard, wired and wireless connectivity, and compatible with gaming systems, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, mobile devices, and more. The Netgear Nighthawk Pro Gaming XR300 router can be purchased on April 14th. Pricing is a reasonable $200. While it won't be available until next month, you can pre-order it from Amazon right now. And no, this isn't an endorsement or sponsored by a stream. It's just a cool gadget I figured I'd let you guys know. Doesn't it look like an alien, though? It's got like three antenna or stuff. It's like with googly eye in the front. Is this something you'd want to get or not? I don't know. Let me know down in the comments. All right, well, into the feature article for today in our gaming news. Snapchat is reportedly launching its own gaming service. Gaming has become increasingly more mainstream throughout the years, growing alongside the growth social media has seen as well. With so many different companies diving headfirst into video games, it really shouldn't be a shock to hear that reports are stating that Snapchat will be the latest to join this market with their own version of a mobile gaming platform for its app. According to Variety, the parent company for Snapchat, appropriately just called Snap, is set to be holding a summit for partners in Los Angeles on April 4th. From there, it's reported that Snap will be showcasing a few select mobile games that will be offered through their platform, in addition to new tools available for mobile game developers to bring their visions over to the social space. Given that Snap invested heavily into an Australian gaming startup that was helmed by the creator of Fruit Ninja, in addition to its own Play Canvas 3D engine, it's not surprising that the app would be gearing up for a potential announcement. Mobile gaming has been on a significant rise in the last couple of years, blowing right past expectations of the market with huge successes such as Final Fantasy, Animal Crossing, and more. With Microsoft having just revealed their xCloud gaming service, Google coming up with theirs, and more, that essentially turns phones into full-on consoles, the sky is the limit for those looking to invest in this particular corner of gaming. So, what do you think about the steady rise of mobile gaming? What about Snapchat reportedly making moves to get into the video game comment? Awesome move or potential for a blundering mess? I don't know. Let us know on Twitter or in the comments section. But here's what I do got to say about the whole Snapchat announcement. It's about time. And I can see the mirroring going on right now. It's like Discord came out with a chat app and a feature application that now a lot of people in communities use. And Discord went, hey, Steam, check it out. You know, you just do one thing? We do two things now. We stream, and you can early access purchase games and stuff. And Steam went, oh, dang it. Well, we got hardware. No, we don't. Oh, wait. Yeah, we do. Wait, hang on. Oh, it's not on iOS, though. Android. Steam Link anywhere. Oh, guys, what the heck's going on? So Snapchat's like, hey, guys, check it out. Not only do we do cameras and snaps and videos and short form pictures and stuff, guess what? We're gonna be adding games to mobile games. And everybody goes, ah. This is great. I love seeing stuff like this. Just they take the industry and just flip it on its head and drive everybody nuts, because all the big wigs go, oh no, what's going on? And the investors just go, I don't know, I've never seen this before. What do we do? And all of us, you know, younger generation, we're like, you guys have no idea, do you? Okay, well, good luck. But yeah, I'm excited. Granted, I don't use Snapchat all that much. I'm trying to use it more often to try and be relatable. I'm still stuck on Facebook, guys. Okay, give me a break. Instagram, good luck. The last time I posted there was like 7-8 months ago. Yeah, I've probably posted more often on Snapchat than I have on Instagram. But anyways, that's just me. So that's one of your gaming news articles for today. And to wrap up our final article for today in gaming, EA unveils a new competitive gaming studio. And let me just say, the photos here coming out are juicy. The noise. Really tight. I'm starting to talk like Jake from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Not sponsored, by the way. It's just, you know, it's a good cuckoo. But video game publisher Electronic Arts just built a new competitive gaming studio at its headquarters in Redwood Shores, California. It announced earlier today. EA calls it a one-stop shop to rapidly accelerate the company's ability to host more competitive events and create content primed for a top-tier broadcast experience. Now, as I was reading this, I thought to myself, I guarantee you I know exactly the first game or a season of games that you're going to have go up in this studio, Apex Legends. Am I right? But that's not the only one. They actually have something planned to happen at that location. The EA Broadcast Center features two main studios. Studios 209 is a competitive space featuring touchscreen analysis and 360-degree visual sets with sections for media and audience seating. Meanwhile, the Players Lounge is designed to look like a New York loft and is outfitted with robotic cameras and directional microphones. The Broadcast Center also features over 60 screens and monitors, 200 light fixtures, a green screen, four-person caster desk, and a state-of-the-art control room. EA will hold its first event in the new space on March 15th to 17th. See, just came out right now. During the Madden NFL 19 challenge, where 16 finalists will face off for a $190,000 prize purse and a seat at the Madden NFL 19 Bowl. EA will be streaming the competition live on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Mixer from 3 to 10 p.m. Eastern. The championship final will air on March 17th on 8 to 9 p.m. on ESPN News. Between competitive tournaments, EA said the new studio will act as a full content creation venue and host new esports-related shows. The global esports economy is expected to top $1.1 billion this year, a year-on-year growth of 26.7%, according to market intelligence company Newzoo. About 82% of the total market will come from endemic and non-endemic brand investments, including media rights, advertising, and sponsorships. So, yeah, new competitive studios, they're already putting it to good use. But yeah, if you guys want some place to hang out or something to look at, I don't know. A lot of interesting ideas to be had for sure. Meanwhile, the rest of the people in sports, like, you know, like weird sports, like sports you actually have to like use like your hands and your legs and running and jumping and kicking and juggling balls and golfing, you know, basketball and football and stuff. All of those people, it's hilarious, they're sitting there going, what's this esports you talk of? You like literally sit in front of a computer screen for like how long? 18 hours a day practicing, and kids in Korea and everybody all over the world do all this stuff, but like you can do that and get paid and win lots of money and stuff? Oh, that's just it's just a fad. It'll blow over. 1.1 billion. Oh yeah, I could probably make that in like 20 years, you know, at my football, you know, if they up my football rate anymore. Meanwhile, if you actually, and I'm sure you did, I have done any research into the whole esports industry and everything going on behind the scenes behind it. Man, it's almost as intense, if not more so intense, than, you know, professional sports athletes. I mean, think about it. You have to have the dexterity, you have to be flexible, you have to have the concentration, you have to have hand-eye coordination, you have to have the patterns down, memorized in your brain so that you can just rely right back on them and not go, oh no, what's going on? What do I do? You can immediately go, oh, I've hit this scenario before. Boom, you drop right into it with no second thought or anything. It's just as competitive, just as hardcore training as, you know, any professional athlete, except you're not really building biceps as much or muscle or leaning down on fat, but you still do have to be fit to a certain extent, because, you know, it'll just burn all the sweat right off you just sitting there typing away, you know, doing all these games. And as you can tell, you know, the popularity of Twitch and all that, you know, it's kind of something to be taken seriously, a force to be reckoned with. I can't wait to see what the next 20, 30 years has in store for esports. It might just eclipse regular sports, as ESPN and everyone else are starting to make indications to. It's quite impressive. So, yeah, enough with my ranting today. What do you guys think? Are you excited about all of this news? Let me know down in the comment section, Facebook or Twitter. And with that, that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in. New episodes every weekday. There will not be a show tomorrow, Saturday. Well, tomorrow being Saturday or Sunday. We will be back on Monday. The Latest Tech News is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Overcast, and everywhere else podcasts are heard. By the way, if you want the video version, it's available on Facebook.com/Tech News Gadget or YouTube.com/Tech News Gadget. Be sure to subscribe. By the way, if we missed something on a show that you wanted to hear about, send us a message on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll see what we can do. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and a like, and tell your friends how to subscribe as well. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.